Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn Audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg. I'll be your host, and it's a pleasure to see all of you here in the show. I'll be talking through the article I released called Here Are the Finance Tools They Don't Teach You in School. I'll make some stops along the way. This article is part of a series called Future Proofing the Finance Professional, talking about the skills that you need to succeed in the finance function today and tomorrow. So let's kick into it. During your training as a finance professional, it's likely that your tutors or teachers or professors, whatever they may have been, drilled you on the importance of technical skills. There are, of course, a range of core skills that every finance professional needs to do their job. There are also many additional or supporting skills that will vary depending on the specialism that you choose to pursue. Of course, if you go into the tax side of things, it's different when you go into the treasury side of things or the FP&A side of things. It'll be a common denominator, but there will also be some special skills that you will need to succeed in that part of the finance function. But either way, the likelihood is that your formal training was focused on fundamental technical knowledge and toolkits. But what happens when the field changes? How do you keep up with the new landscape of the finance function? In simple terms, I say we need to evolve from being numbers people to people people. Learning, working together with other business functions, solving their most critical needs. And today we'll talk about three specific tools and deep dive into one of them that you can use to find the best possible solutions for these needs. Overall, though, what you need is critical thinking. You've probably heard this many times before, but it's true. The world gets more complex. The simple solutions are running out, and we need not necessarily complex solutions, but we need to put in more thought and efforts to find the right solutions for the challenges of tomorrow. There are many of these transferable skills that you learn in school, each of which has a different application. So let's give three examples of tools that we feel you need to add to your toolbox today. First is problem solving. Now, problem solving is probably noted in many job descriptions, also outside the finance room, but it's kind of vague. You need to be good at solving problems. What does that mean? Well, it means we have problems in a company and you need to be able to solve them, but it's not that easy, right? You need a structured process for solving these problems. And there are many such, five times why to get to root cause, Fishbone, Lean Six Sigma, Kaizen, you know those as well probably. We like to use the seven-step problem-solving model. It comes from the book, Bulletproof Problem Solving. It's what all the management and consulting firms are using. We feel that applies very well also to finance professionals inside companies. It's a basic framework that can be applied to any business problem, enabling a quick and effective solution. Quick, of course, depends on how complex the issue is. Whatever the question, the answer can be derived by completing the seven steps. Find the problem, disaggregate, prioritize root causes to investigate further or solutions to test out, create a work plan for the analysis, do the analysis, synthesize your findings, and communicate them to decision makers. We'll dig more into this towards the end of the show, but problem solving is number one. Then, as you work as a professional in companies, you'll often get involved in projects. But few of us have project management skills, at least from a formal perspective. Some may be PRINCE2 certified, or it could be the Lean Six Sigma or Kaizen could also be used to run projects like this. But it's important to also have a structured methodology to use for project management. We like the one called Half Double. It's a project management methodology that is based on the unpredictability of real human behavior. Everything in a project, or for instance, of basically managing a company, was linear. It would just be following the steps in the manual, pressing the buttons, doing what we need, and then we would get the desired outcomes. But as we're dealing with humans, it's not always that rational and linear. So the half-double methodology will account for the non-standard occurrences, outcomes that we will see all the time in business. It focuses on the impact we create, the flow of the project, and the leadership that it takes to actually succeed. We've shared a link to a resource in the article from this morning that you can go look at if you want further information, or you can simply just Google half-double project management and you will find the relevant resources. Last but not least, and this perhaps is a skill that you might learn in school even, because it's definitely very hot in the market these days. And I won't even say it's up and coming anymore, because it has arrived and it's something that all companies need. And it's data analytics, right? So data keeps expanding and data is the new gold or the new oil, whatever we say, right? But a lot of value can be derived from working properly with data. So you need kind of an analytics roadmap. Because analytics is a core competency for the modern finance professional. But it doesn't just mean knowing how to use an analytical tool like Looker or something else. Instead, analytics is a mindset, one that can be used to enable you to maximize the value you're creating within your organization. The analytics roadmap encourages finance professionals to move from pure reporting further up the value chain through commentating, advising, and ultimately to strategizing. Again, we've left the resources in the article this morning, but you could also just use the simple visual of the analytics marathon developed by Brent Dykes, where you see where do we spend most of the time and where are we actually getting the impact. We get the impact at the end when we communicate the findings, buy in from the recommendation, and actually execute. But most of the time is spent elsewhere, and we rarely get to that last mile, as Brent Dykes called it. So a lot can be done there. We need to shift our work from reducing numbers to using them. And a great analytical mindset can help you get there. Before we dig further into the problem-solving toolkit, I just want to make a pause here to see if someone wants to come on stage to share your perspective on these tools or other technical tools that you have learned since you left school that you feel will significantly increase the success of finance professionals. Or perhaps you have a question to one of these methodologies. Feel free to raise hand and come up on stage. Maybe Steve, since you raised the hand first, I'll let you go at it first. Please feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective.
Well, I'm a finance person who's kind of moved into the whole change data space. The one thing I'd add on the analytics or kind of throw out there for consideration is the whole idea of design thinking. I think people are looking to move to predictive. You can learn a lot from what's happened historically in your organization. And if you come with a kind of design thinking mindset, then it opens up discussion with other functions and you can work more collaboratively in terms of what are the lessons to be learned from what's happened in the past? How can you leverage those either in a positive way to enhance them even further, or what's the kind of remediation activity you want to take so you don't repeat the failures of the past?
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Steve. We'd also like the design thinking methodology. Sometimes it can feel maybe a bit more complex. You kind of going to learn a few steps. Once you start using it, it can be used to sort of solve problems in amazing ways. And I really, if people haven't watched this, I really encourage you to Google the shopping cart project from IDEO. It's an iconic video by now, I think from the 90s. But you kind of in 15 minutes see how IDEO, one of the most famous product design companies in the world, go through that design thinking problem solving process of a very simple thing, such as designing a new shopping cart. So please do Google that one if you haven't watched this already. So thanks a lot, Steve, for bringing this up. Odette, feel free to also introduce yourself and share your perspective or ask questions, of course.
Thanks. So I'm Odette, an economist, and I've been working between FP&A and BI for the past almost 20 years. And one of the things that definitely I had to develop throughout at least the last 10 years of my career is to be able to visualize data and insight. So visualization skill, understanding which chart is best used for which goal. And at the end, combined with the data analytics and the visualization, definitely the storytelling capability. So to be able to draft a story from figures, because I was a very numeric oriented person to be as a business analyst and a finance analyst. It was becoming more and more difficult to deliver a message, deliver a clear message of what am I recommending to do or what am I seeing in previous periods results, etc. So the combination between the two, to visualize data and to tell the story of the data, was definitely something I had to develop as a skill and to learn from it.
100% agree with it. And thanks a lot for bringing that up as well. And like, what's differentiate you from being someone that just does data and analysis forever and ever, and someone that actually makes that work count, makes it informed decision-making so that the company make data-driven decisions rather than just do things how we've always done or purely follow the experience of business leaders. I'm not saying that experience is not important, because it is, but we need to combine it with the data as well. And I think the visualization and the storytelling communication part, it's another part of our capability model here at Business Partnering Institute. And it's something we will dig into in one of the future shows and articles coming in this series here. So thanks a lot for highlighting that, because it's absolutely critical as well. So I promised you to just dig a bit further into the problem-solving toolkit. It's one we teach to finance professionals, and it's one that will help finance professionals, let's say, solve more complex problems, come with better solutions, and definitely drive more value creation. But it's also a framework that doesn't need to be used in full every time. There are some very simple steps in it. For instance, just defining the problem that you can maybe do in 5 minutes for simple problems that will help go a long way in being an effective finance professional. But let's have a look at how problem-solving toolkit can help in sort of a practical sense. This model can be thought of as a second-order tool, in that it applies not only to individual problems, but also to the development and improvement of processes and working practices. It can be applied at every level of abstraction. That is, it can help you solve day-to-day issues, or it can be used as a model to interrogate the most fundamental large-scale business problems. Finance professionals are, by and large, and I know that goes for all of you here, smart people. We like to dive straight into the problem because we think that's the way to solve it quickly. If you ask a question in a group, we have this issue, how might we solve it? Someone is going to throw a solution at you right away. They're not going to spend time trying to thoroughly understand the issue. They're just going to throw a solution at you. And I could definitely be one of those people. Sometimes I might be right. Sometimes I might just intuitively think of the right solution. Sometimes I might think of a solution that could work, but it's going to be suboptimal. Sometimes I might think about the wrong solution and just throw it out there. So it would definitely be helpful to take a bit more time, just take a step back and think about the issue, follow a structured process before throwing a solution out there. How do we then do that? First, we define the problem. In the words of Einstein, he said, "If I had an hour to solve a problem, I would spend 55 minutes thinking about the right questions to ask. But once I know the questions to ask, I could solve the problem in less than 5 minutes." So that's what we are doing when we are defining the problem. We're understanding the situation we're in, the challenges we must overcome, or an opportunity that we need to realize, and what questions we should answer with our analysis to solve it. So what is it that we are trying to solve or achieve? Once we know that, we will disaggregate or kind of unbundle the different parts of the issue. Sometimes we know the root cause, but not the solution. Other times, we don't even know the root cause, and we need to figure that out first. These two initial steps allow us to understand exactly what we are attempting to do and why. Once we have sort of a gross list of root causes to investigate further or solutions, we'll prioritize. Use a simple 2x2, impact and effort, or depending on the issue, it can be many different axes there, but don't overcomplicate this. So we prioritize the outcomes based on our stakeholders' requirements, or, you know, could also be just because it's the easiest thing to do and we'll still expect to get some impact out of it. Next, we then make a work plan with measurable and clearly defined tasks assigned to relevant parties, right? So now we can actually start to do some real analysis, what we really like to do as finance people, but we need to do some work before we get there. Once we have that work plan, we can start the analysis and we can analyze the results. Those results we then synthesize. So we don't just look at the facts, we actually lean out and build new knowledge on top. We synthesize the findings to build argumentations for a specific solution that we want to recommend. Synthesize from the bottom up. And finally, we communicate those results. We communicate those from the top down in a way that is comprehensible to all stakeholders. So we speak in a language that they understand, and we lead with the answer. Our recommendation for how to solve this problem, or our recommendation for whatever it is that we are going to embark on. Don't lead with the process or your analysis. It's going to kill business people. Lead with the answer. And we'll talk much more about that in a later episode as well. There are many examples of these sorts of frameworks. Now we talked about a 7-step problem solving model. Many others, both problem solving, but also within project management and analytics. And I'll explore other tools in future shows. We'll have 3 more of these shows where we explore the toolbox of finance professionals. In the meantime, do go check up on the article where we have left some links at the bottom that you can find these methodologies. Definitely recommend reading the book Bulletproof Problem Solving. You can go to the Half Double Institute's website to learn more about that methodology, or go to Data Analytics Made Accessible, a regularly updated ebook focusing on analytics as a core finance competency. Now, I'm just curious if anyone in the audience, and of course, Steve and Odette, feel free to add as well. Are you today using a problem-solving methodology? Now, Steve mentioned design thinking, but are you using it? And can you maybe give an example? That would be pretty cool to hear. So feel free to raise hand to come up on stage and join the discussion.
For me personally, I haven't been using any structured or formal, as far as I know, problem-solving methodology, but I think I relate to more or less what you mentioned, Andres, to take a problem and to take it down to slightly smaller problems and then solve either one of the smaller problems. Sometimes you need to recourse that over and over again, like to take a big problem into a smaller problem until you get to the smallest tiny bits, and trying to prioritize and then work at one or more item at a time, depends on your ability and your resources, and then take it up once again. But I would be happy, and I'm very thankful for the resources you mentioned. So I'll be investigating them further to get some more formal knowledge around that.
Definitely do that. It'll increase both your efficiency in terms of speed of solving it, but definitely also your effectiveness, so the quality of the solutions that you develop. So definitely do that, or look into design thinking, as Steve also mentioned, could also be another. We don't teach that, but we definitely also highlight it as another great framework for problem solving. If anyone else wants to join us here on the stage, feel free to do so. We have some minutes left before we start the wrap up.
It's Steve here. Yeah, I've used design thinking a little bit. The only reason I called it out is the appeal to me is it's very customer focused. What's their pains? What's their gains? And I think in terms of for finance people, being able to empathize with your internal customers, you're sending a strong signal up front that you're really trying to work on their behalf. And I think that helps potentially accelerate the pace at which, you know, the old traditional silo mentality that has prevailed in some organizations where finance are seen as being stern and unapproachable. you can tangibly break those down relatively quickly.
Now, this is absolutely critical what you mentioned here, Steve. I mean, one thing is to take a problem-solving framework that is customer-centric, but it really helps enforce working in a customer-centric way in general, which is also a critical skill for finance professionals today, and one we'll also talk about in one of the future shows. Because why are we here as finance professionals? Well, sure, there's control and compliance that we need to do to ensure no one gets to jail and whatnot, and we can report to external stakeholders if needed. But majority of our work should be to drive value creation in the business. And we can only do that if we are tuned in to the exact needs of our stakeholders. Not what they would necessarily say if we asked them, but what are the true needs? And those are typically easy to identify because as a company, we have a strategy, we have a plan, we have initiatives we want to reach. Business leaders have been given targets that they need to achieve. And that's what matters to them. So if we can be the one helping them to meet or beat their targets, we're winning, not for ourselves, but for the company. We're helping others be successful. So I really like, you know, whatever framework you use and what are the tools you use, even beyond what we've talked about in this show here, take a customer-centric approach. That can never be wrong. Mark the words, that can never be wrong. Right? So forget the silos, forget about your needs. We're here to help the business be successful. And we do that through making business leaders successful. And they will recognize that if we help them. So don't be afraid to lean out there. Thanks a lot for highlighting that, Steve. Today, we just talked about three specific tools and frameworks linked to the specific skills of problem solving, project management, and data analytics. You might get some data analytics skills in school today, but most of these, not so much. But they are a critical part of the more technical toolbox of the modern finance professional. So I can highly encourage all of you, if you're not using structured approaches today, look into these resources. Figure out what works for you. Maybe in your company, there could already be trainings available. Find people who do this well. Ask if you can take part in initiatives that they're doing. Ask if they can be a mentor. Learn these technical skills. And you have a competitive advantage against other companies for sure, but also getting exciting jobs and being promoted and being successful in your career. With that, I'm going to close today's show. I want to thank so much Steve and Odette for being on stage. You guys' insights is what makes this show really exciting and interesting to listen into. And I want to thank all the listeners today. We've had a great crowd here. I hope it was valuable for you. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. And I really look forward to seeing you there. Otherwise, catch you out there on LinkedIn. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great rest of the week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?